Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org by streaming along with us. Podcasts of old shows are also available there. And you can just go to the tab for local programming, scroll through to Your Financial Choices, and then peruse all the podcasts that are available on the website. Those shows are also available at yourfinancialchoices.com as well. So good evening, everyone. Today is September 19th, 2019, or 2018. Yeah, I'm speeding it up a little bit here. The markets were a bit flat today. The Dow closing at 26,405, the NASDAQ at 7950, and the S&P at 2907. Our topic tonight is, what can you do with your retirement accounts? I'll tell you a little bit more about that in just a minute. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Lori C. is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I'll do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. And email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. Oh, and because we're live, you can either discuss the questions live with us if you have them, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can just give your question to Lori and she'll write it down and bring it in to me. So again, that number is 610-758-8810. Last week, we talked about doing a retirement plan checkup, and we had a guest, Joe Goldfeder, on to discuss what that retirement plan checkup would be. And I thought it would be a good idea to follow up with a conversation about what you can do with your retirement account. So last week we focused on the retirement checkup, basically what kind of accounts do you have, what kind of investment options do you have, asset allocation, employer contributions, that type of thing, tools available on the websites where you would have those accounts. And tonight I thought, what could we talk about with taking that a little bit further, what you can do with your retirement account? So what am I talking about? So off the top of my head, I came up with a list with which I will start, and then I'm going to dive deeper into what it all means. So I'm a little hyper today, so I'm just going to throw out all these questions, and then as we go through the show, hopefully come back to these topics and then talk about what I mean by that. So what can you do with your retirement accounts? One, first, we want to know what different kind of retirement accounts are available. Two, you can contribute to them. You can invest them. You can combine them. You can borrow from employer plans. You can split retirement accounts in divorce. You can have a solo 401k if you're self-employed, even when you're working. You can get tax-favored treatment from them. You can get a company match from employer plans. You can sometimes put after-tax money in them. You can make a distribution from them. If you make an early distribution, you may expose yourself to potential penalties. So we're going to talk about how to get around some of those. You can convert IRAs to Roth IRAs. You can pass retirement accounts on to your heirs. And lots of different nuances to all of these different categories. Those were what came to me, that like top of my mind. So then I thought, let's break those down and talk about them in a little bit more detail. So different kinds of retirement accounts, contributing to them, investing in them, combining them, borrowing, splitting and divorce, a solo 401k, tax favored treatment, company matches possibly, after tax money, making a distribution from them, early withdrawals, converting, and passing on to heirs. That's quite a hefty list of things that we can do with our retirement accounts. And I want to emphasize, the reason we talk about these things is because with awareness, we hope that you avoid issues that you might run into when you are working with retirement accounts, whether it's qualified retirement monies through an employer plan or individual plans such as a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA, that you don't make mistakes. We talk about being proactive and not reactive. Well, if you don't know what some of the rules are around these things, then you may not be doing things the right way. And if you had known the rules, you could have avoided, you know, such things as penalties or taken advantage of employer matches and things like that. So we want to raise awareness. So broadly, because I can't talk about the details of all of these things, I don't have time. I could do a show just on IRAs. Broadly, when we're talking about different kinds of retirement plans, usually, generally, we are talking about individual retirement accounts, otherwise known as IRAs, individual retirement accounts, Roth IRAs, which are a tax-free saving vehicle, income tax-free saving vehicle, named after, I think, the legislator who put their name to it. That's a Roth IRA. Qualified accounts. Normally, when we talk about qualified accounts, it means it's a plan that is under the supervision, or I would say, of ERISA. And typically, that is employer-sponsored retirement plans, 401ks, 403bs, ESOPs, ESOPs being an employer stock ownership plan, those kinds of accounts, qualified accounts. And it also includes what I call designated Roth accounts, which are like a Roth 401k. So different kinds of retirement accounts. And in order to understand all the things that you can do or not do, you have to understand what kind of plan you have. We talked a little bit about that last week. You have to understand what kind of account you have so that you understand what rules apply. You do not have the same rules for individual retirement accounts as you do for qualified accounts. Different rules. So you always have to ask yourself, if you think you're going to take money out of your retirement account, which retirement account is this? Am I allowed to do this? Understand the consequences before you make a move. Okay, so then the number two, you can contribute to retirement accounts. That was one of the, what can you do with your retirement accounts? You can contribute to them. Well, you can contribute to IRAs and Roths, but there are limits on it. And other earned income limits, taxable income limits, it depends on if you're a participant in another plan. But if you're eligible to make a contribution to an individual retirement account and or a Roth account, the cap that you can contribute to your account for the year is $5,500. That's 5500, $5,500. An extra $1,000 if you're over age 50. So $6,500 if you're over age 50. You have to have earned income of at least that amount to put money in. But whether or not you can actually make a contribution to either an IRA or a Roth IRA depends on if you're a participant in another plan, an active participant in a retirement plan through your employer, which would be a qualified plan, and or your income thresholds. So you can actually be an active participant in a retirement plan and still do money into a Roth, make a contribution into a Roth, if you're below certain income thresholds. And that is where it gets a little bit more complicated. So you want to make sure that if you are an active participant in a plan at work and you think you still can do an IRA or a Roth IRA, you want to make sure that you're reviewing how much other tax, how much your basically your adjusted gross income is on your tax return, because there are income limits if you're an active participant, meaning you are a participant in a plan at work. If you are not a participant in a plan at work, then you don't have those income thresholds as far as being able to make a contribution. You still have to have that earned income, but you don't have income thresholds. I'll see if I can kind of touch base on some of those thresholds when we come back from this first break. I don't want to go into too much detail on all these because there's a number of topics I want to cover tonight. But if you have questions, always welcome those. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Not only is becoming a WDIY member a great way to support the programs you love, it has its benefits. WDIY members have access to our weekly member ticket giveaway emails. Discover great concerts, theater performances, film screenings, and more, all while supporting the many choices and real voices on WDIY. Make your gift today at 610-694-8100 extension 7 or wdiy.org. Thank you.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and we are talking tonight about what you can do with your retirement accounts. And I went through a whole list at the top of the show, and we're kind of covering some of the little bit of the details on that. Real quick, I wanted to give some of the income limitations on making a deductible IRA contribution. But first, let me give the phone number if you have questions. The phone number is 610-758-8810. You can also send questions through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. We are taking live questions tonight, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, just give your question to Lori C. She'll write it down and bring it in to me. So I mentioned we can make contributions to individual retirement accounts, $5,500, $6,500 if you're over age 50, if you have that earned income. And if you are an active participant in an employer-provided plan, there are income limitations. If you're single, and I have 2017 numbers in front of me, so I apologize, the 18 numbers might be a little higher than this. If you're single and you make under $62,000, you can still do a deductible IRA without a problem. If you're between $62,000 and $72,000, there's a phase out. If you have page one income of more than $72,000, then you can't do the deductible IRA. Then you might say, well, if I can't do the deductible IRA, could I do a Roth IRA? That means I don't get a deduction for it, but it's a way for me to save extra money in a tax-free account. And as a single person, the threshold for a Roth IRA is $118,000. So you might not qualify if you're an active participant in an employer plan if your income's over that $72,000, but you could qualify for the Roth IRA. Now, the phase out for the Roth IRA as a single person, if you make over $133,000, then you can't do the Roth IRA. Then we start talking about doing a backdoor Roth IRA where you make a non-deductible contribution to an IRA, and then you have basis in the IRA. All right, so income limitations on that. Married filing joint, if you have one spouse that is an active participant in an employer-provided plan, the non-covered spouse could actually make an IRA contribution and even base it on the earning spouse's earnings, and that phase out for the deductible IRA if one is an active participant and the other one is not, and you want to do something for your non-working spouse or your spouse who's non-covered through an employer plan, the phase out is much higher. It's like anything under $186,000, you could still do a deductible IRA for that non-covered spouse. Once you go over $196,000, you can no longer do it. And then a Roth IRA non-deductible contribution is the same phase out, $186,000 to $196,000 for the Roth IRA for married filing joint. So you want to make sure you understand what kind of plans you have and what you're eligible to do. If you go over those thresholds and you have made a contribution to the plan, the IRS gives you until April 15th of the next year to reverse it because it was a mistake. Sometimes you don't know that you're going to be over those thresholds because maybe you got a bonus in December. So the IRS gives us until April 15th to reverse it. And then we're good to go. If we don't reverse it and we let the money sit there when we weren't entitled to do it, it's called an excess contribution. And then we have penalties on those excess contributions. And we have to file a special form and pay those penalties on those excess contributions until we reverse them. All right. So we talk about contributing. We just talked about IRAs and Roth IRAs. Qualified plans. Qualified plans for 2018, it's $18,500. If you're over age 50, you can do an additional $6,000, bringing it to $24,500. Qualifying plans, again, being 401ks, 403bs. Simple IRA, smaller amount, $12,500 for 2017. I didn't have the 2018 numbers. And an extra $3,000 if you're over 50 or over. I don't see simple IRAs that much anymore. And be careful on simple IRAs because if you leave your employer and you have a simple IRA and you think, well, I'm going to, you know, roll that money over or transfer it out, there are huge penalties on taking simple IRAs out within 2 years. So you have to be really careful when you're moving any kind of simple IRA money. Make sure you're not in that penalty period. So those are contributions that we can do to our retirement accounts. Again, all of these would be subject to, of course, having that earned income. You're not going to be able to put $18,500 in your 401k if you're only making $6,000. And then I wouldn't do it into one of those if I didn't have any taxable income. Number three, you can invest in them. If you're interested in hearing more about that, I would say that the show we had last week covered that in great detail, and that was the retirement plan checkup, and that would have been dated September 12th with Joe Goldfeder. So just know that when we talk about putting money into retirement accounts, the objective, I would think, for most people in general would be to have those assets growing for your future, for your retirement, thus generally why we are investing those funds. So if we're putting them away for retirement, we're typically getting a tax deduction if we do it on a pre-tax basis through an employer plan or through the deductible IRA. We generally want to get those monies working for us so that they can grow for us while we're working. We let our investments do some work for us, as such that when we retire, we have a little bit more of a nest egg than what we put into it. We want it to grow. So you want to make sure you are actually investing it. Occasionally, what will happen is someone might go into work at a new employer and they don't do the paperwork, and the employer might be putting in a safe harbor amount, or maybe you are putting a little bit in and you get a match and you never made an investment decision, then typically the plan will have a default. And sometimes that default is a money market account. It could be a target date fund. You want to make sure if you've just started at a new employer or you've put money into a retirement account, you want to review if you have set up the investment options properly. If you wait too long or you think you'll do it later and then you forget about it, you could have your money sitting there and not have it working for you. So you want to make sure you're reviewing that as well. You can combine retirement accounts. Why am I mentioning that? Why would you want to combine them? What can you combine? When do you have to be careful? So that is something I'm going to talk about in a little bit more detail when we come back from this next break. I would love to have any questions someone might have. If you have questions about retirement accounts in particular, the phone number tonight is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We're talking about what can you do with your retirement accounts. You may be someone who is listening and had something come up and you wondered, gosh, can I borrow from my retirement account? It depends. So we're hoping to cover that those questions as we go through the rest of the show. But if there's a question that I might not have thought of, or a topic or piece of this that I might not have thought about that you might have a question about, welcome the call. 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. Shandi, we'll go to break, and when we come back, I'll continue my discussion on combining retirement accounts. And what do I mean by that? We'll be back in just a second.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Lori Siebert and Your Financial Choices. We just heard that promo for Tom Druckenmiller, and I just want to throw out there that we went and saw Tom last Friday night with his wife Betty and Norm, who's often here hosting as well, and they were playing at Godfrey Daniels, and it was a wonderful show, just a wonderful show. I loved getting some history around the kind of music that they played, old-time music, and it was just really interesting, very relaxing and comfortable and fun, and it was a great night out. So thank you, Tom, for bringing that music to us. It was very enjoyable. We are talking tonight about what you can do with your retirement accounts, various things, you know, contributing to them, borrowing from them, combining them, passing them on to your heirs, any number of facets about what you can do with retirement accounts. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me or off air if you're not comfortable talking live on air. Give your question to Lori C. and she'll write it down and bring it into the studio. So I mentioned you can combine them. What am I talking about with that? You wouldn't think about combining, let's say, an IRA or a 401k while you're working, but what you might want to do is sometimes people have maybe a multiple number of IRAs for whatever reason, and maybe it's more efficient to combine them. Maybe you have them separate for, you know, I don't know, some other kind of management style, but you can combine IRAs into one. The IRS looks at your IRAs as one regardless. So if you have five different accounts and you think you're going to kind of, I don't know, finagle something, the IRS looks at them all as one anyway. Sometimes what I'll see is someone might have an IRA at the bank where they have a CD, and then they might have a couple IRA accounts at, you know, some other custodian. You can combine them, you can keep them separate, but regardless, the IRS sees them all as one. If you have to take out required minimum distributions at age 70 and a half, you could take it out of each of the accounts, you know, evenly, or you could, you know, over their life expectancy individually of each account, or you could take the required minimum distribution for the entire kit and caboodle out of one. So you just want to watch that. But bottom line, you could combine them. Some people don't realize you can combine them. Sometimes what people will have will be a 401k from a former employer, and they could roll it over into an IRA. You might end up then having a traditional IRA and a rollover IRA. In the past, we usually kept those separate. I think with the Pension Protection Act of 2006, if I'm remembering right, the IRS allows us to combine traditional IRAs and rollover IRAs. Sometimes people still have reasons not to. You could roll your rollover IRA back into a 401k if your employer, if you move to a new employer and your new employer allows you to roll over prior monies into your new 401k. Sometimes people do that. So when I say, why would you want to combine them? Sometimes people do it for efficiency. Sometimes people might want to utilize a new custodian's platform or their employer platform, you'd always want to review fees and access to different investment options if you're going to do such a thing. So just know that there's times where you could combine them. Again, if you're doing anything with an employer 401k, and let's pretend you had a former 401k at one employer and you have a new employer where you're going to have a 401k, you don't have to roll it over to an IRA from the former one and then into the new one. You might be able to move your existing 401k or your former employer's 401k into the new employer's 401k. You have to look at the summary plan description for your plan to see what the options are. But there are ways that you can combine them, and there may be reasons why you want to combine them. When do you have to be careful? I would say you have to be careful to make sure that if there are any after-tax monies in any of these accounts, whether they're IRAs or 401ks, after-tax monies, meaning you've already paid tax on that money that's in that retirement account. When you roll it over, if you're not paying attention to it or keeping track of it, you could miss some opportunities. Number one, if you have after-tax money in a 401k, and let's say you separate from service and you want to roll over that money into a rollover IRA from a former employer's 401k, if you have after-tax money in that, you can actually roll the after-tax money from the 401k into a Roth IRA. So that's when you want to be careful. Another time to be careful before you start combining things is if you have an employer 401k that has employer stock in it. You want to make sure before you roll over that or combine it with any other plan you have that you've found out and researched the employer stock in your plan, what the value is, what is the cost basis of it, and if you have the opportunity to take advantage of something called NUA or net unrealized appreciation. So be careful before you combine, but know that there are opportunities to combine accounts if it's going to make it more efficient for you. Let me move on to borrowing from your employer plans. You can't borrow from an IRA. So sometimes people might think, oh, I'm going to borrow and I'm going to, you know, take this loan out because they knew that they could maybe when they were working and had this 401k. There's different reasons when you have a employer-provided plan and you take a loan from it under their summary plan description, they do payroll withdrawal because you're still working. So they can pay back the loan through payroll withdrawal. So if you need to borrow from the employer plan, I don't usually recommend it. There would be, you know, very extreme circumstances if you have to borrow from an employer plan, but the plan has to permit it. Typically, you have to pay it back within 5 years. There's interest, there's loan cost, and usually the participant is the one who has to pay those loan cost. And I think it usually has to come out of the plan, like separate from the plan, possibly too, like a separate check. The only time I think that you have a longer payback period is if you're borrowing from a qualified plan to buy a principal residence, and usually that's capped as well. So if you're going to borrow from a retirement plan, there's usually limits and payback periods and interest rates. So you want to research that before you ever have to do that. But I probably, in most circumstances, when I have seen someone borrowing, it's typically from for a principal residence, not usually for any other reason. I had a question come in from Anne in Bethlehem, and she said she's already retired. She's older than 70 and a half. The money she is taking for her required minimum distribution, where should she put it? It is just sitting there presently. So, Anne, what you're telling me is that you are taking required minimum distributions because you're older than 70 and a half, but you don't need the money because you must have other resources, other cash flow, maybe Social Security, maybe a pension. So you don't really need the money from your required minimum distribution. What some people will do is they'll just invest that in an individual account, and you're investing it outside of, you know, the retirement accounts. When you're investing in an individual account, you might be buying mutual funds, securities, equities that hopefully, potentially, if you're not using it, will grow in value. When it grows in value, you're looking at long-term capital gains, which are better tax rates than your IRA gets. It may be qualified dividends, which are better tax rates than your IRA gets. But another thing to keep in mind for people who are 70 and a half or older is that if you are charitably inclined, you could divert some of your your required minimum distribution or all of your required minimum distribution if you're under if it's under $100,000, you could divert some of that to your favorite charity. It's called a qualified charitable distribution. So if you don't need that money and you're charitably inclined, that might be the first place I would look to do something with your money, is to divert it to your favorite charity. You have to notify the custodian that you want to make this contribution to charity. They'll write the check directly to the charity, mail it to you, and you can deliver it to the charity. And then that piece of your IRA is not taxable then. You avoid the income tax on that part that you're giving to charity. But otherwise, you know, if you don't need the money, you're not charitably inclined, you could either make sure you take care of your emergency reserve, you could gift it to people, or you could invest it. So lots of different options for you, Anne. Good question. Thank you for calling in. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
This is WDIY. It's 6:30. Your current temperature is 80. On Thursday, a slight chance of drizzle. Before 9 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 74. Thursday night, low around 61. Friday, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. After 2, mostly cloudy with a high near 77. Friday night, low around 65. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 73. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 55. And Sunday, a chance of showers, partly sunny with a high near 70. And Sunday night, mostly cloudy with the low around 57. Now back to your financial choices with Lori Seabird.
Thank you, Shandi. Welcome back, folks. We're talking about what you can do with your retirement accounts. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. 610-758-8810. I'd also like to mention Lehigh Valley SCORE has some upcoming workshops. Monday, September 24th, Time to Start or Improve Your Business, where they're going to talk about the basics of starting your business or improving your existing business. And ongoing seminars, starting a nonprofit, make your website work for you, simple steps for starting your business. And they have more information on their website at lehighvalley.score.org. That is Lehigh Valley SCORE, a nonprofit helping business people in our community. We had another question come in. Thank you for calling, Christina from Easton. She said she's getting married in her 50s. Can she roll her small Roth IRA into her husband's IRA? She isn't sure what type of IRA he has. No, Christina, we don't roll. We don't combine our IRAs with our spouses. The only time we're allowed to kind of move money from one spouse's IRA to the other is in death or in divorce, basically. So you would not be able to roll your IRA or your Roth IRA into your husband's. Not to mention, I would just keep it. If you are working and you have cash flow available and you're below those thresholds I mentioned earlier, married filing joint making under, in 2017 anyway, it was $186,000. I think it's $189,000 now. You could still contribute to your Roth. I love the Roth IRA. It's a great way to save and get it invested, and then it has income tax-free growth and earnings, hopefully, if you're getting it to grow over time and you're still young. So that's something to think about. What I like about Roths is you always can get back those original contributions without too much grief. And so that's why I think it's a great place to save if you have that chance. So you can just keep your Roth IRA right where it is without any problems. Thank you for calling in. Again, the phone number is 610-758-8810. So I mentioned borrowing. So that's from employer plans. That's the qualified plans. Again, there's cost typically involved, payback schedules, that type of thing. I mentioned you could split the retirement accounts to Christina's response as well, that I had said if there's a divorce, you can split retirement accounts. And it's two different events, depending on which kind of account you have. So if you have a qualified account, in order to split the retirement account, the employer-sponsored retirement account, you would have something called a quadro, a qualified domestic relations order. It applies to qualified plans, and it's a state court order to allocate the interest in a plan to the former spouse. So it is an actual written statement, goes to the employer. The employer has to split the qualified plan. For an IRA, the IRAs are split not under a quadro, but just under a final divorce decree. And I think it could be something like a separate maintenance agreement as well. But basically, a divorce decree would trigger the split of the individual retirement accounts. And basically, you let the custodian know, provide whatever documentation they require, and then they will either simply just change the name on the account, or they will make a trustee-to-trustee transfer of the IRA assets to the, you know, the spouse that is taking those. Now, what is interesting about this and why you have to be careful too is when you have, and I'm going to talk about distributions in a little bit. When you take a distribution from an account, if you're under a certain age, you could end up having a premature withdrawal penalty, a 10% penalty. You don't want to run into a 10% withdrawal penalty because you have income tax and a 10% penalty. When you split these retirement accounts in divorce, there is an exception to the 10% penalty for premature withdrawal under a quadro. So if you keep the money in the qualified account after it's been split and you need the money and you're under age 59 and a half and you have to take a withdrawal from the plan, the withdrawal would be income taxable, but it would not be subject to the early withdrawal penalty if it's under the quadro. If you instead take that quadro, now you have your part of the 401k through the divorce, and now you decide to roll it over to an IRA, you no longer have that protection if you're under the premature penalty age. So generally, unless someone has tons of other resources and assets, if I think they're going to rely on that money in a divorce and they're under age 59 and a half, if they have a quadro, I pretty much want them to hang on to that quadro until they're at least 59 and a half. Because if they need that money, I don't want them to have a 10% penalty. So you want to be careful of those things. That does not apply to IRAs. If you're under age 59 and a half, you have a 10% penalty if you take a distribution out. IRAs, okay? I don't know how many people know, if you're self-employed, that you can have a solo 401k. And I don't know how many people know that if you have two jobs, one of them being through an employer and you're working and going to work, but then on the side, you're also self-employed. Maybe you do consulting. Maybe you do landscaping on the weekends. Maybe you're a painter on the weekends. If you have a place of employment and you have your own business, you can have a solo 401k for your self-employment income. And you might say, well, Lori, but I at work, I put in the maximum employee amount, which is I'm over 50. I put in $24,500. What are you talking about that I could have a solo 401k? You just told me there's a max contribution I can make. Well, if you're self-employed, you can do the employee portion. But if you're doing it the full amount through your employer, then you max that out because that applies across all qualified accounts. I can't do more than 24,000 if I'm 50 years old or older across all my retirement accounts. Can't do more than that for the employee side. But guess what an employer can do? An employer can do their elective contribution and they can do profit sharing. So if I'm self-employed and I did all my employee contributions through my work, as my self-employed income, I can do profit sharing, and that's another way to get extra money in. So I'm not sure everybody knows about that. Something to keep in mind if you have self-employment income along with working for an employer. What you can't do, though, is exceed certain limitations. 2017, I think it was $54,000, and $60,000 if you're 50 or over, for all plans. So you have to combine the employer piece, the employee piece combined, can't be more than that. So little tidbits here. Real quick, I had said you can get tax-favored treatment. Well, tax-favored treatment because you're deferring the tax on the income that you are putting into the retirement account. If you're doing it on a pre-tax basis, typically 401k, 403b, you're putting money into retirement account. You're getting you're not paying federal tax on that today. We are paying Pennsylvania tax. We're not paying federal tax on that today. It's called deferral. There's benefit of tax deferral. You have more money working for you because you got that tax deduction on it. So more money is working for you while you're in your higher income earning years. And that's the tax-favored treatment. There's also tax-favored treatment for deductible IRAs. If you don't qualify for a deductible IRA and you're forced into using maybe a Roth IRA, there's tax-favored treatment for that as well. And that is done on an after-tax basis. But with the Roth, we get tax-free earnings and growth on that, at least as long as we only take it out under a qualified distribution. What else can we get from our retirement accounts? Well, if we work and we have an employer and we have an employer plan, that employer might give you a company match. Generally, we like people to be able to put in at least as much into their employer plan to get that match. Sometimes employers will say, if you put in 6%, we'll put in 3%, or you put in 6%, we'll put in 6%. Whatever that threshold is, we like to get that match. Some plans, employers will have something called the Safe Harbor Plan, where they will automatically put in 3% even if you don't put something in. So you want that company match. It is free money. After tax. Sometimes you can put after tax money in a plan. Why would you want to put after tax money in a plan? Well, if I've already capped out my pre-tax amounts, some plans, and you have to read the SPD, the summary plan description, some plans allow you to also put in after-tax money. So if you've capped out on the pre-tax amount, that $18,500 or that $24,500 if you're 50 or older, and your plan allows you to put in some after-tax, if you have tons of other money, you don't need your money, you don't spend all this money, and you need some place to tuck this money, you could put it in the after-tax portion of your employer plan if you wanted. That might be something you could do. I think even occasionally employer plans sometimes even have a match on that. But there's all kinds of limitations still subject to that, so just watch out for that. You can make distributions from your retirement accounts. Oh, that's good to know. The big caveat there is if you take an early distribution, you expose yourself to potential penalties. I mentioned that earlier. If you take money out of your 401k early, or you take money out of your IRA early, you not only have income tax, you also have a 10% penalty, depending on which account you take it out of, whether it's the qualified account being 401k or 403b or the IRA accounts. There might be some exceptions to an early withdrawal out of those plans to avoid the 10% penalty. You're not going to get away from the income tax unless you're in a 0% income tax bracket, or you're in a possibly a Roth IRA, and there's a caveat on that too. But basically, you will. There's ways for you to avoid the 10% penalty under certain circumstances, but it depends on if it's the IRAs or the qualified accounts. Different exceptions. The reason I want to go over that tonight, and I'll probably have to go over that after this last break, is that I have seen where people mix this up. They think they can take money early out of their 401k, maybe because they had XYZ expense, and they know that's an exception to the penalty, so they do it. Well, they didn't read the fine print and realize, no, that exception only applies to IRAs, or vice versa. They'll take money out of the IRA and they think, well, I can do this because I did it when I was working, and I know that's an exception to the 10% penalty. Well, it doesn't always work. So you really, really want to be careful if you are in a position where you have to take money out, which again, generally we don't like folks to have to take money out of retirement accounts, you know, pre-retirement. You just want to be careful to make sure you understand which kind of account you have. And is the distribution necessary? Could it be, could you borrow instead of taking a distribution? So if you're working, you have a 401k, you might be able to borrow on it instead of taking a distribution because you don't want to have income tax and the penalty. A loan might make more sense in that case. Well, you can't take a loan from the IRA. So, well, if I have to take a distribution from my IRA early, why am I taking it out? So maybe there's an exception to the 10% penalty for that. Why? So when we come back, I will talk quickly about the premature distributions and the exceptions to the 10% penalty for that. See if I can touch on regular distributions and how much more I can fit in the last 15 minutes. I hope I'm not talking too fast. As I mentioned at the top of the show, I'm a little hyper tonight. If you have questions, though, love the questions. Thanks for calling 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and it may be tax deductible. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. If you have questions tonight, we're talking about what can you do with your retirement accounts. The phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. So let's say you're in a position where you have to take money out of the retirement account and you are under age 59 and a half. I've mentioned then you might have income tax, you might have 10% penalty. When is there an exception to the 10% penalty? For both qualified accounts and IRAs, there are some overlapping exceptions to the 10% penalty. One, death or disability of the taxpayer. Two, made for medical care to the extent allowable as medical expense deduction. Three, an IRS levy. Four, distribution to reservists while serving on active duty for at least 180 days. And five, made as part of a series of substantially equal lifetime periodic payments. That's one that can get you in trouble down the road, by the way, but that is an option for some people who are really needy. Substantially equal lifetime periodic payments from the retirement funds. So those are overlapping exceptions to the 10% penalty. For the IRAs, some additional 10% exceptions would be made to pay qualified higher education expenses for yourself, your spouse, your children, or your grandchildren. So that is IRAs. You can take money out for qualified higher education expenses. That is not an exception under the qualified plans. Another exception would be out of individual retirement accounts made for a first-time home buyer distribution. That's up to $10,000, up to a lifetime $10,000 limit. And what is a first-time home buyer? Someone who has not had home ownership within the prior 2 years. So you might have owned a home 10 years ago, but as long as you didn't own a home in the last 2 years, you could tap your retirement account up, or your individual retirement account up to $10,000, not incur the 10% penalty, but you're still going to have the income tax. So don't forget about that. Some exceptions. So that's the individual retirement accounts. The qualified plans, an additional exception, two more exceptions to the 10% penalty. One, if it's made to an employee after separating from service in or after the year he reaches age 55, and age 50 for qualified public safety employees. So if you're someone who loses your job, you're 55, you know, sometime in 2018 and you terminate employment. So in 2018, you could take money out of your qualified account and pay the income tax on that distribution, but you don't have the 10% penalty on it. That's kind of nice. It's an exception to the early withdrawal penalty, because think, if you, a lot of people are getting packages at 55 before they retire, their pension might not be starting. They didn't plan on retiring. They need income. It's a place you can still tap that. Now, if you rolled your 401k over to an IRA, then you don't have that exception to the 10% penalty. This only applies to qualified accounts. So often if I have folks who end up losing their job, if they're 55 or older but don't have other employment, I say, let's sit tight on that retirement account. Let's not roll that over, because you might have to tap that money. And then we'd have the exception to the 10% penalty. Once they reach age 59 and a half, that is an exception to the 10% penalty. So once you reach age 59 and a half, you can take money out of your qualified plan without any penalty for early withdrawal. The other exception to that 10% penalty on qualified accounts is the quadro. So for spouses who end up, you know, getting a portion of the qualified account allocated to them, if they might need that money and they're pre-age 59 and a half, I got that quadro. I might want to keep that money set aside in case that my client needs it, and we don't want them to be subject to the 10% penalty. All right. So exceptions on premature withdrawals. That's distributions, but guess what? Those are premature distributions. We always have just regular distributions, IRAs and Roths. Qualified distributions made no earlier than 5 years after the year for which the owner made their first Roth IRA contribution and meets one of the following criteria. Taxpayers age 59 and a half or older. Remember, we mentioned qualified first-time home buyer, disabled. There's exceptions to Roth as well. But the additional exception we have to the Roth is first-in, first-out treatment. All basis is deemed withdrawn before any taxable earnings. So let me throw that Roth in there. So you can always get out your original contributions on the Roth. So otherwise, there's other limitations. Regular distributions from qualified accounts, age 59 and a half, or as I mentioned, 55, if they've reached age 55 by December 31st in the year of termination. There are no required minimum distributions. Let's move to required distributions. There are no required distributions on Roth IRAs, but at some point you do have required minimum distributions on qualified plans and IRAs. Typically that is age 70 and a half. There are exceptions to that if someone continues to work and they're under a qualified plan. You don't have a required minimum distribution if you're still working and you're not more than a 5% owner, I think, is the limitation. But your required minimum distribution must be taken no later than April 1st of the year following the year you turn age 70 and a half. That's a mouthful and it's hard to understand. Just know when you turn age 70 and a half, you have to start paying attention. You have until April 1st of the year following the year you turn age 70 and a half to take out that first distribution. Meaning, if I'm 70 and a half this year, I have a required minimum distribution. I have one this year. If I've turned 70 and a half, I have one. But the IRS gives us a little wiggle room. And they say, well, yeah, you have one this year, but we're going to give you to April 1st of the next year to take it out for the first time. But then next year, if I waited in 2019, I will have two required minimum distributions. So that's where you have to be careful. But that's a good plan or a good thing to have in your back pocket if you're still working. We see more and more people working to age 70, 70 and a half, 71. Maybe you aren't covered by a plan for the whole year. Maybe you had some big income at the beginning of the year. Now I'm 70 and a half. I have this huge salary that I got, but now I'm 70 and a half. I have to take my required minimum distribution. That might be a time I want to wait till the next year. So age 70 and a half, April 1st by the next year, twice if you didn't do it in the year you turned 70 and a half. A note to mention, I had said there's no required minimum distributions on Roth IRAs, but if you are someone who has a Roth 401k. So you have an employer plan, you have a Roth 401k. There are required minimum distributions on Roth 401ks. So one way to get around that is if you leave employment and you have a Roth 401k, you can roll that over into a regular Roth IRA, and then you don't have the required minimum distributions any longer. If you keep it in the Roth 401k, then you have required minimum distributions on that. They're not income taxable if it's a Roth, but you would have those. What other time do we take a distribution from retirement accounts? Well, we might inherit a retirement account. We might inherit a qualified plan, 401k, 403b. We might inherit an IRA. We might inherit a Roth IRA. Basically, you will have a required minimum distribution on an inherited account no later than December 31st of the year following the year of death. That's when you'd want to start those required minimum distributions, by December 31st of the year following. So they give you a little bit of time. If you're a spouse, it's different. You can roll your deceased spouse's retirement account into your own name. But generally, if you're a child, a friend, neighbor, whomever, who've inherited a retirement account from someone who has passed, you need to put that into an inherited account. So it goes from the deceased person's name to deceased person for benefit of me. So you want to do a trustee-to-trustee transfer. Never take a distribution out of a deceased person's retirement account if you inherited it, because it will be income taxable to you all at once. There's no 10% penalty on early withdrawal if you've inherited something, but so you can avoid the 10% penalty. But you want to make sure you don't take that out in a check. You want to do a trustee-to-trustee transfer from the deceased person to the beneficiary, and you have to take out your required minimum distribution starting by December 31st the year following in order to do it over your life expectancy. If you miss doing that, you miss it year one, you miss it year two, all of a sudden, you will be under a different rule, which accelerates the distribution within 5 years. So you really want to jump on that if you've inherited an account. I know sometimes people are actually so upset when someone has passed away that they can't function. But this is one area where you need to kind of pay attention and make sure you're doing it right. And Roth IRAs, if you've inherited them, also have a required minimum distribution. So recall, if it's your own Roth, I told you there's no required minimum distributions. But if you inherit a Roth, you do have required minimum distributions. And you can't make those inherited accounts your own. The way you always know it's an inherited account is it'll be the deceased person's name for benefit of the beneficiary. So we always want to see the deceased person's name there. That's your clue that that's an inherited account. We have to know, you know, particular information when the person died, when your required minimum distribution started, because it's over typically over your the beneficiary's life expectancy based on the year following the year of death of the decedent. I'm not going to get to cover all the other what you can do with your retirement accounts, but we've covered those in other shows and probably will cover them in the future. Things like converting IRAs to Roth IRAs. Sometimes people still think there's some kind of income limitation that you can't do it if your income's over a certain amount. They took that away years ago. So if you were to convert IRAs to Roth, you want to make sure it makes sense from an income tax standpoint. You can pass on IRAs, Roth IRAs, qualified plans to your heirs. I want to point out the importance of naming beneficiaries on those, primary beneficiaries and contingent beneficiaries, the backup beneficiary. Make sure you review those. If you do have any retirement accounts, you want to make sure your primary and contingent beneficiaries are listed. And we generally do not like those going to estates. Because an estate does not have a life expectancy, whereas an individual does. And we usually like to get the stretch on those distributions. If it's going to a charity, then it's no problem because charities don't pay income tax. So I like using IRAs for charity. How do you know how to do all this? Well, you're going to have to work with your advisor or work with your financial advisor, or your employer, your HR department. Review summary plan descriptions. If you have retirement accounts to work, that summary plan description is required to be given to you. It gives you a lot of information about the employer match, employer contributions, borrowing, when you can take money out, in-service distributions, all kinds of information is in that summary plan description, which they typically will call the SPD. Folks, I am through that lineup, and I appreciate you being here. I think this is a great topic. It's lots of really, really important information that can make a difference in your financial decisions, and we like our folks to be proactive and not reactive, so I hope I helped a few people tonight. If you have questions, you're welcome to go through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com, and again, podcasts of the prior shows, especially that show we did last week, are available on WDIY.org or through yourfinancialchoices.com. I want to thank Lori for being here, Shandi for being here, especially my listeners who called in with their questions, Christina and Ann. I appreciate it. Next week, we're going to talk about new for 2018 self-employed business deduction. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with Norm sitting in for In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.